Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. I've got Venerable Tom Dorrien sitting in front of me.
Hello.
And to my left, along with the goats, well, to the right is the sheep, and to the left is the goats, and to my left is, I didn't pick this spot, he did, is Ziggy Rodriguez.
That's me. Are you saying I've been bad?
Yes. Now you officially are. Yeah. No. I'm glad you guys are here. We're going to have a pretty interesting show, I think. I say that. You never know until you do it, and then you go like, "Yeah, that wasn't that interesting." But
in my humble opinion,
I'm hoping.
Yes,
I'm hoping that people will like this. Let me just start by saying that one of my favorite parts of the Mass is after the Our Father, after the Lamb of God, and the priest elevates the Eucharist and says, "Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb." And I'm always attracted to that moment. Because, see, I see that as a moment that's like, sort of like the pinnacle or the highest point of the Mass, where we're going like, okay, we did it, guys. In our human whatever, with the help of God, we accomplish what we're supposed to accomplish at Mass. Mm-hmm. Which is not just confecting Eucharist, but also it also includes all of the liturgy of the Word before that. You know, the Word points to the reality of Jesus in Word and sacrament. Like so it's like, to me, I look at that and go like, yes, we did it again. Another successful Mass. Of course, then we receive Holy Communion. But I love that part of the Mass. And then I love it especially even more when on the second Sunday of Ordinary Time, like this year, the reading comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, and I really love this reading, and it just is one that you can sort of like, it's short and sweet, but you can kind of pull it apart and examine it and go pretty deep in there, and I thought we might want to do that conversationally here today because there's some really cool parts to that, but it also brings to mind other things. To me, other feelings and reasons why it's my favorite. Do y'all have the same kind of feeling at that point, or are there other parts of the Mass that really speak to you? Like where you suddenly, I'm at Mass.
I like all the Mass.
I know you do.
That part does move the heart.
Were you the kid in school?
He was.
Right before the bell would ring, it's like, teacher, you said there was going to be homework. Don't forget to get
he's
your homework.
He's the guy. Yeah, okay. You know he's the guy.
No, during that part, I will say I have over the years, you know, because normally during that section of the Mass, in the time leading up to it, you know, I'm kneeling, I've got my head down, eyes closed, just praying, just trying to receive the moment. But I've become convicted that if I really want to receive that moment, I need to open my eyes, lift my head, and behold, you know, that God is present here in the Eucharist, being elevated by a priest in persona Christi, you know, and to just really allow myself to receive that moment, I have to have my eyes open, and so that is something that I would say it's not that it's you know, there's different parts of the Mass that are special in different ways, but that is one that over the years I've just become increasingly convicted that this is a moment that I need to just receive and intentionally.
Right. I had a guy that I used to work with who was a member of the Orthodox Church, and we were talking about like adoration and things like that, which they weren't doing that. He wasn't doing that, and I talked about the Mass, and I go, does the priest ever hold up the monstrance, or the priest, you know, how does that work? And he goes, like, I don't know. I've never looked up. You know, I've never looked. Now, I don't want to condemn like a church because of that particular interaction, because I don't know if that was right or wrong that he said or what the experience is, but it does call to mind, like, and I'm like, yeah, I like looking up. In fact, I think that's what the word behold means.
Yeah.
Because I've got this whole devotion, maybe the wrong word for it, but a very special place in my heart for the word behold when we hear it in Scripture. Because it's a very specific word. And when you say behold, you're not saying something ordinary. You're not just saying that, hey, cast your glance that way. I think you'll like what you're going to see.
It's more of a proclamation.
Yes, and also, it's a proclamation specifically actually calling you to not only just look, but to take it in.
Right.
Like to become it. Mm-hmm. And if you stop and think all the different ways in which the word behold is used in Scripture, there's a ton of it in the Old Testament. Like back in Genesis, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed which is upon the face of the earth, etc., etc. Behold, and this is Exodus, I will rain bread from heaven for you. The prophecy of Jesus born of Mary. Behold, this is Isaiah. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. So you hear this behold several times in the New Testament, and there's many more, but you hear in the New Testament, you just go through this litany, Gabriel to Mary, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You should call his name Jesus. And Mary says back to Gabriel, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Elizabeth says to Mary, for behold, when the voice of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And Joseph was planning on divorcing Mary. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, right? The angel to the shepherds in Luke, behold, I will bring you good news of great joy. The wise men, behold, the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem at the baptism of Jesus. We just heard this recently. And behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove at his transfiguration. And behold, two men talked with him. So behold, it goes all the way to the crucifixion. When Jesus is on the cross, woman, behold your son. Then to John, behold your mother. And at his death, Matthew, and behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two, and at his resurrection, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And you start, behold, every key moment in Scripture, every part of the story of salvation has a behold to it. Mm-hmm. And it's not cast a glance. It's something that says, you need to pay attention to this, because mm-hmm. this is life-changing. It's life-altering. This is the meaning of life. This is the very meaning of what it means to know God. And so, if you walked through your corporate office and started saying, and behold, I have a new box of paper clips, and behold, I have written the contract, and behold, people might think you're weird, right? And right. So it's not typically what you would do, but there are probably some moments in your business world where, and behold, mm-hmm. I have heard from the insurance company, Tom would say,
oh, yeah.
You know, and they are going to accept your claim. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to pay your claim. Right. And so there's these moments that are just profound moments where a proclamation is now being made, and there's really an invitation. Right. And you stop and think about that and think of your own lives. I think about my own experience. Tom, you would have had this. Ziggy's not there yet. But for me, you know, and I want to say I would put the word behold on when the doors opened up on my wedding night in the church, and the bride, my wife, Bess, hi Bess, was standing there, and she was waving, saying hi Jeff. She didn't say that, but so, and behold, you know, the woman that I have made for you,
right.
You know, and you think of it in the behold, but like I beheld all nine of my babies. I literally held them. I caught them, you know, in my hands. Mm-hmm. First one to touch them outside of Bess, right? And so I had a special arrangement with the doctor, just so we're all clear. There was a doctor there.
It's a cool story.
But I got to behold them. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not saying that, you know, other people don't love their children. I'm just saying that's a special way in which I've been able to love my children first, you know, after Bess. And so it's like I look at that stuff and I think, this is important. And so here we go back to the John the Baptist. Mm-hmm. And then every Mass we hear, behold, the Lamb of God. Mm-hmm. And it's just recalling that moment in Scripture in Matthew where we read that and how profound it is that in the Gospel of John in this second Sunday of Ordinary Time, I'll just read it real quick. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one of whom I said, a man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me because he existed before me. I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel. John testified further, saying, I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain upon him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, on whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God. And you think about, like, the prophet Isaiah talking about and Ezekiel, like, hearing the message that that his son John would be the one to make paths straight for Jesus, like make the way straight, and you, in Isaiah's, you know, voice crying out in the desert, and all these things, like it's the fulfillment of prophecy, the realization of prophecy.
Well, when I'm listening to you, something that it comes to me, it relates to one of the things that we said last week when we were talking about the Hail Mary, that it's a petition for the two most important times of our lives, now
and at the hour of our death,
right? And so, like, there's a thing within Catholic theology and Catholic philosophy for the emphasis of the present, the now, right? And you know, to say God comes to us in the present, he comes to us in the now, he loves the now version of you, not some future version of you that doesn't yet exist, right? And one of the things, like, on one hand, there's a lot of good in focusing on the now, right? But I think that to an extent, what this does is says that, like, yeah, the rule is God comes to us in the now, and we're supposed to stay present, trying to do our best to receive him and share him to the best of our ability and discernment in each present moment. However, there are certain moments, certain slices of time where we are commanded to behold, you know, we're commanded to sort of slice out certain moments and keep them within our heart. You know, I mean, we hear, you know, other phrases that are very common within, you know, scripture, things like remember, you know, or turn.
And
back.
Mary pondered on these things in her heart. She kept them in her heart.
Yes. And so what it's doing is we're not going to have the thing to reflect on and ponder unless we really allow ourselves to behold what it is. I mean, part of me wonders, as you were talking, I was like, did the apostles really allow themselves to behold the transfiguration and what was being revealed to them in that transfiguration? Because if they had, you know, would Peter have denied Christ three times? Would they have been falling asleep in Gethsemane? You know, would they have scattered?
And it was obvious that Peter was a little stupefied.
Yes.
By the moment, like, hey, let's build some tents.
Right, right.
Let's do this. What do we do? What do we do? You know, there's a little bit of that going on.
And I think you're quite right to point to our Blessed Mother as someone who is sort of a model of a human person who is beholding. Right. In the way that we are called to, you
know, kind of already gets it.
Yeah, she receives it and she ponders these things in her heart. And I think that we're being invited into having eyes to see what it is that we're supposed to kind of slice out of our experience and our journey with God on a personal level. Right. And to keep these things in our heart so that we can reflect upon our walk with God. And then that helps us in the now to receive him more fully, because our understanding of who he is in part animated by who he has been to us in these slices of time, right? And so that's kind of what's coming to me as I'm listening to you.
Yeah, I think that comes to me almost every Mass now.
Mm.
Once I kind of pondered on this idea and kept it in my heart, I think now when I see that, I think... And sometimes I get distracted, and I might, during Mass I'll get distracted, and a lot of people will, and you'll look out there and go, like, I can't believe that guy's wearing that T-shirt, or I can't believe that person's chewing gum, and it's easily get distracted, right? And so during Mass, where I sit next to the priest, kind of have a vantage point, kind of be able to see folks, but I can honestly say that I think every single time that I've ever heard those words, behold the Lamb of God, at Mass, I've been looking at the Eucharist. Because my vantage point, again, is on my knees. I'm on my knees at that moment. The priest does that elevation, and he's got the host and the and or the chalice, you know, up, and I am on my knees looking up every single time, and I can't think of a time where I'm looking around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying that makes me better. I'm just saying that I think I am better of a man because I've fallen into that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that, like, when I've been in sitting with the folks in the pews, I think I still have this tendency to behold, to look, to take in, to absorb what's being elevated. Because literally, this is the time where a lot of people think, like, well, the priest is, you know, he's showing us the Eucharist. And a lot of people, when you get into Ad Orientem and things like that, and people start wondering, like, well, should the priest be facing the people? Is he doing this for the people, or is he doing this for God, or both? And there's all these discussions. But I think in that moment, regardless of where you're facing at that moment, all eyes really should be on Jesus at that moment. And I think it's written into the liturgy in that way, and it just... it calls everybody. I think about the time that I went with my family to see the solar eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
And you stop and think about the profundity of that moment when this is happening, like in the United States of America, literally millions upon millions upon millions of people at that very instant are looking at the same thing you're looking at. Mm-hmm. And there's some kind of profundity there going like, wow, we all have... all of our attention is in one place.
Mm.
And so if I do that at Mass, whether I'm kneeling next to the priest or whether I'm sitting in a pew and all eyes are on this eclipse that's happening before us, to me it's really profound, and I think it's really meaningful, and it makes communion not just this ritualistic sort of, we're all just kind of, this is what we do next. This is the next thing on the agenda. What's on your dance card? You know, what are you doing next? Well, next I'm doing this. I have an appointment, you know, and I'm going to keep that appointment. So I'm going to get in line with other people and go up, and the priest is going to say this or the deacon's going to say that, and then I'm going to respond this. And it can be just like any other moment. But if you're in that moment of beholding, well, now it's like, hey, everybody pay attention to this in a profound way. And this is what we are called to at Mass. This is why the church says we have to go to Mass every Sunday.
Mm-hmm. You know, something else that comes to mind as I'm hearing you and kind of processing all of this and also connecting it to the fact that you were talking about, on one hand, you're beholding, like, our Lord being, our Eucharistic Lord being elevated in the Mass. And then also, you know, when you beheld Bess on your wedding day, you beheld your children when they were all born. And one thing that's interesting, I think, that is an important distinction, you've got the timelessness of God, and then you've got the time-bound nature of creatures, right? So, like, on one hand, within the context of married life or just our life here on this earthly pilgrimage, we, on one hand, we're going to receive those special moments with people, but we wouldn't be doing ourselves or those people any favors if we were like, hey, that I love this version of this person, but not giving that person room to change, right? Like, yeah. You know, because a person changes over the course of decades or years, right? And you know, imagine a parent being like, well, I really loved this little the little version of little Timmy, but now that Timmy is, you know, grown and is starting to talk back more and is getting in trouble, I really love the old version of little Timmy, and it's really hard to love new Timmy, right? Like, we're not supposed to, you know, we're supposed to receive and let go, and so that we, in such a way that allows us to receive anew, right, those that God has placed in our midst, you know, in each present moment. But the thing that makes it possible is the beholding the timelessness and immutability of God, because as all of these persons and relationships are changing over time, and we too are changing over time, God never changes.
Yeah.
God is right there. And so, you know, being able to behold that this is the Lamb of God who's been with us, you know, with the church for 2,000 years, nourishing his flock through the most holy Eucharist and pouring his love into us and pouring his love out through us to the extent that we give our yes to that, you know, that is, there's something special about just sort of the timelessness of that moment.
Whenever you hear the word behold, It's like spiritual glue.
Yeah.
It's going to get sticky, and it should stick, and it should stick with you. I love the fact that you're pointing out that it's human beings that we're creatures, and we're bound in time. And the thing is, there is a divinity to us. We taste of the divinity, and really, God has this way of being able to make things not evaporate with time, that stick like glue, stick with us and stick as memories, and they're good for us. And it's a good thing. So when we hear behold, it's a good thing. Now, there's another aspect of this I just wanted to mention real quick, and that is, like, what do we do with this? One of the things I love about this idea that John the Baptist basically was pointing the way to Jesus. I mean, that's what he was doing. He literally says that he's like, hey, I'm making straight his paths. I am, like, alerting everyone to the very presence of Jesus in our midst, and that's what I'm doing. And then the priest in Persona Christi, the priest is doing that as well, right, at Mass. He's actually saying, behold, hey, everybody, pay attention. Look at this. You need to know this. This is the whole why we're here part. You know, you need to pay attention. Well, there's an admonition or at least a challenge for each one of us who attend that Mass, who are going to receive Jesus in Eucharist, that we are being prepared to also make straight his paths, to also be a witness and also to point out Jesus to others. I mean, this is what evangelization is, and we're being empowered to evangelize by this moment at going to Mass. When people say, like, well, I'm not really qualified, it's like, you are, because you beheld Jesus in Eucharist, you beheld Jesus at Mass, and now you hold Jesus, and you've got Jesus in you, and now you need to share Jesus with those that you encounter. And you can use the same words, behold the Lamb of God, and help people to understand and to know that their life is not complete without Jesus, that we all need Jesus. And so this is like I guess another reason why it's all profound to me, because I like, behold, that's actually calling me, behold, the Lamb of God calls me to tell others about the Lamb of God.
And for those of us in the audience who might be priests, because I know we have some priests who listen to us, there's a priest who actually...
They're getting their homily notes from us, well, I think. You think so?
Well, there's a priest from our diocese, Father Hurricane, who... I'm realizing as I'm listening to you, Deacon Jeff, he was the one that really awakened this within me, because it's been a while since I've been at Mass with Father Hurricane, but he would, in that moment, he would always, like, shout, behold! You know, like, he would let it go in such a way to where if you're in the congregation, you can't help but look up, because it's like, whoa! And so, like, I just want to say, shout out to Father Hurricane. That was really cool. And if there's any priest here who's wondering, how do I kind of awaken that within...
You're telling them to shout it, man.
Just shout it, baby. Shout it.
Yeah, exactly. I think all that's really profound, and I think these are those moments. And one of the things I like about the idea of us doing this show at this time is it just helps you to sort of find yourself in your day-to-day life, all the things that are going on, all the challenges, all the distractions, and all the reasons why you would not pay attention to God. They're out there. In their reality, I don't care how religious and spiritual you are, you're being pummeled from all sides by not God, and we need to really pay attention to those moments where God is saying, whether it's an angel of the Lord or whether it's Mary or whether it's John the Baptist, and asking us to behold, to take a moment to hold this in our heart, to ponder this, because it's going to be good for us. And if we take the time to do that, I promise you, the payoff is good, right? The payoff is something that's beautiful. And again, all the folks that think that they're not qualified, that they're, well, I'm not really an evangelist. You know, I like to go to Mass. It makes me feel better. And I believe all this stuff. I do believe it. And so I'm just your basic good Catholic. I just sit in the pew and I never miss Mass. I go every holy day of obligation, and you know, and I've done all the basic steps. I got all the boxes checked, or all the sacraments, you know, and I'm hoping, you know, to go to heaven. And think, like, well, that's I'm not going to say that's a wasted life. I'm going to say it's a life that has great potential that may not be reached if we don't behold.
It's a lamp hidden under a bushel basket.
100%, Tom. Ooh.
Needs to be on a lamp stand.
Oh, Tom comes in with the mic drop at the
end. Yeah, exactly right. Tom, tell us why you thought that. No, that's a great point, because we can sit and we can quash the greatness of God by our humanity.
Right.
And it's not, we're not meaning to do that, but these are the moments we should take advantage of. And when someone gives you a gift, you know, and by nature of the word gift, a gift is not a gift unless it's received. Right? So when we're given the gift of the opportunity to behold, we should receive that and not ignore that and not use this as just any other ordinary mass, any other ordinary time. That, you know, we should view every mass that we attend as the greatest mass we've ever attended. Why? Because it's the most recent.
It's now.
100%. It's now. Even if you go like, well, that wasn't a great homily, you know, or that it was that church, it was hot in there, you know. When people say that, by the way, I say, like, yeah, it happens to sinners sometimes. Yeah. It's okay. Stick with it. You're going to be okay. Go to confession. It'll be cooler next time.
Exactly.
Don't do that, by the way.
Yeah, I'll bet you don't.
He is so mean. I'm going to write him an email right now. I wish you would write me an email. We'd love to hear from you. Send me an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Love to hear that. But all that aside, all kidding aside, we have opportunities every time we go to Mass. You know, and we have, if we live in the now with God and we behold God, then all those things that maybe were seeds that were planted, they flourish, they grow, they're nurtured. And the Holy Spirit just stirs that up in us, and that's what we're called to do. So next time you go to Mass and you hear "Behold the Lamb of God," you know what? Truly behold our Lord of Lords, our King of Kings, and allow Him to change your life. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and the hour of our death.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at The Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.